Everybody listen up. Here we're shooting another scene of action frames. Now get to your positions. Lighting's
ready.
Cameras.
Clear.
Figurants.
Clear.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, action.
Dearest, there are no accidents, and no explanation I offer will satisfy you.
I like that.
You seek resolutions because you're young, but you will understand this one day.
How many times have you been in love?
You're always the most beautiful woman in the room.
Therese Bellevet.
Carol.
Tell me you know what you're doing.
I never did. And then it changed.
She's still my wife. I love her.
I can't help you with that.
Good evening, dear audiences. So nice to have you again in this fresh new season of Action Frames. This is Jake.
And this is Apollo. The Academy Awards never fails to catch our attention. So far, today's Info Express, we're going to take you on a tour into Oscar this year.
There's one man whose fate has drawn a worldwide attention, Leonardo DiCaprio. It's a relief to everyone for the 22-year-long Leonardo Oscar meme finally came to an end.
And the Oscar goes to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Holding the Oscar he had dreamed of for years, he still managed to give a calm speech addressing his concern for the environment.
Climate change is real. It is happening right now. It is the most urgent threat facing our entire species, and we need to work collectively together and stop procrastinating. We need to support leaders around the world who do not speak for the big polluters or the big corporations, but who speak for all of humanity, for the indigenous people of the world, for the billions and billions of underprivileged people who will be most affected by this, for our children's children, and for those people out there whose voices have been drowned out by the politics of greed. I thank you all for this amazing award tonight. Let us not take this planet for granted. I do not take tonight for granted. Thank you so very much.
Taking his huge devotion to his role in Revenant, this prize is well deserved and definitely not taken for granted.
The movie Revenant has also brought the director Alejandro G. Iñárritu a second Oscar after the success of Birdman last year, which made him the first Mexican director of such honor. The best actress this year went to Brie Larson for her great performance in Room. To fully understand her character, Brie locked herself up for over 6 months. After all, the Oscar always favors true devotion.
Indeed. The biggest winner this year must be Mad Max Fury Road, with 6 wings snapped. Literally has swept the board in technical field. While the biggest live winner would be Alicia Vikander, the best supporting actress this year, who starred both in Ex Machina and The Danish Girl. As an actress under 30, she has not only attained fame and wealth, but also enjoyed a romantic relationship with the charming actor Michael Fassbender.
Such a lucky girl. As always, the best picture meant to be the most exciting part of the awards. And for this year, Spotlight has moved the audience as well as the Oscar voters with its depiction of the professionalism and ethics of journalists. Personally speaking, I highly value its calm and restrained style, which can best illustrate such topics. The theme of fairness and humanity can always win the favor of the Academy Awards. However, one phenomenon in this year's Oscar has been widely discussed for its bias.
Exactly. Since the nominees appear to be all white, some celebrities such as Spike Lee and Jada Pinkett decided not to attend the ceremony as a sign of boycott. The topic stacked Oscars so wide went viral again on the internet since last year. At the ceremony, some clips from hit films were parodied to address this issue in a humorous way.
It's not rocket science, it's a mop. Just say something.
Sorry, he's like so bright.
Oh my God, tell her to say something about the mop.
Talk about the mop.
Say something. Maybe one day they'll make a movie about a skinny white lady who invented a mop. Of course, a black girl would have to invent the cure to cancer before they even give her a TV movie.
Oh my God.
But hey, I'm not mad. Because I know how to play the game. Joy.
After all, this year's Oscar still brought forward a number of great films. If you haven't watched them, I guarantee you will enjoy them. And that's all for today's info. Coming next, Storyboard. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Hello everyone, welcome to today's storyboard. This is Elva.
Good evening audience, long time no see, this is Monica. Today we're gonna talk about a romantic movie, Carol. We've introduced some romantic movies before, but Carol is a quite different one. Not only because it's a love story happening between two women. Set in 1915's New York, Carol elegantly shows us a time when love between two women still dared not speak its name.
The movie Carol was adapted from the novel The Price of Salt by Patricia Highsmith, who was also the author of The Talented Mr. Ripley. In an afterword to her 1952 novel The Price of Salt, Patricia recalled an incident that took place when she was working in the Manhattan department store during the 1948 Christmas season. A blondish woman in a fur coat, slapping a pair of gloves absently into one hand, approached to buy a child's gift. On the surface, it was an unexceptional encounter. The woman chose a doll, paid, and departed. But Highsmith writes that she felt old and swimming in head, near to fainting, yet at the same time uplifted as if I had seen a vision. In real life, the two never met again. But the moment inspired a novel in which the women fall in love, and has now become the gently dazzling movie Carol.
Back to the story. A 19-year-old girl, Therese, played by Rooney Mara, is seeking her dream as a professional photographer. However, without opportunity to work in her dreaming field, she has no alternative but to work as a shop girl. A few days before Christmas Eve, she met Carol, a stylish New Jersey homemaker who was doing some last-minute Christmas shopping for her daughter, Rindy.
At a little glance, Carol was deeply impressed by this watchful girl, with clear eyesight similar to a deer's. Afterwards, Carol came to ask for an appointment with Therese, hoping that Therese could spend Christmas Eve together with her. Not entirely voluntarily, Therese came to know that Carol was having a painful divorce, fighting desperately for her custody of her only child. The more they met, the clearer the feeling they share in both of their hearts.
But unfortunately, in a conservative society in that time, this kind of love is not accepted and acknowledged, since Carol's husband, a manipulative businessman, was both ashamed of and annoyed by her love affair with other women. He applied a custody hearing in the name of an alleged morality clause, banning Carol from seeing her own daughter.
Carol was so melancholy that she decided to take a road trip to the West,
Spontaneously, she asked Therese if she would like to join her. Making out that she did love and understand Carol, Therese agreed. It was indeed a sweet time they shared together. Dismissing others' opinions, they enjoyed themselves freely and bravely. Therese took pictures of Carol along the way. With a decent camera, Carol gave her as a Christmas gift.
Their rosy days ended when Carol found that a private detective had collected much strong evidence of her relationship with Therese, which by that time had come to a sexual stage. Disguised as a traveling merchant, the detective stalked and tapped them, even chatted with them to win their trust.
Carol was in total grief and indignation. To protect Therese and herself, she left Therese in the early morning, expressing her real inner feelings to Therese in a letter. Then she came back to her husband and cooperated with the psychologists to cure her so-called wild mental illness. To avoid bringing trouble to Therese, Carol held up her passion and love, trying to be a well-behaved housewife, just as her husband hoped.
Therese fell down to the cold and solid ground with Carol's departure. On the way back to New York, she got in a trance and vomited in the bitter wind. She said, "I miss you" on the phone for 1,000 times, even if she knew that Carol would never hear. When developing films in the dark room, she was always obsessed in the pictures she took of Carol.
As time went by, Therese finally succeeded being a photographer at times. Several months after the bittersweet road trip, Carol once recognized Therese out of a crowd of people in a taxi. Her face awakened the sleepy love hidden in Carol. Having had enough of the separation, Carol determined to lay her cards on the table, telling her husband what she regrettably mean.
So again, Carol went to Therese, explained how she was forced and leave her and how she finally determined to end her miserable marriage once and for all. In the end, she asked if Therese wants to live with her in a nice apartment she just rented, like real couples do. Out of anger and strong ego, Therese refused. But how could she ever forget Carol? In a car to her friend's party, Therese got lost again in the memory she had with this alluringly magical woman. The first eye contact, the first physical touch, the first night they spent together. In the end, she decided that this time she won't let go of Carol.
This love story between two women shows us how hard it could be for people to live and love freely at that time. Like the original work's title, The Price of Salt, indicates, to relish the sweetness of real romance, women needed to pay so high a price that a contemporary society can hardly imagine.
Well, that's a perfect sum given. So that's all for today's storyboard. See you next week. I'm Monica.
I'm Elba. Bye.
Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Flashback. I'm Carol Aird. Tonight, we're gonna show you the first encounter of Therese and me, which is really from outer space. Also, you'll hear the argument between Therese and her portable boyfriend. Well, good luck to him. But of course, I'm not in a position to patronize anyone here, because I have my own problems too. You know, the divorce thing, and the custody of my baby girl, Randy. All right, pay attention now, and our flashback will remind you of my journey.
Clip 1.
He's checking it twice. He's gonna find out.
I wonder if you might help me find this doll for my daughter.
Brett Betsy. Oh, she cries and wets herself. But I'm afraid we're all of stock.
Oh, I've let it too long.
Well, we have plenty of other dolls. all kinds, actually.
Right. What was your favorite doll when you were four?
Me? I never... Not Manning, to be honest. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to smoke on the sales floor.
Oh, Father, forgive me. Shopping makes me nervous.
That's all right. Working here makes me nervous.
You're very kind. Here she is.
Oh, she looks like you. Around the eyes.
You think so? What did you want when you were this age?
A train set.
Really? Do you know much about train sets?
I do, actually. And we just got a new model in last week. It's hand-built with hand-painted cars. It's a limited edition of 5,000. You might have seen it on the way in over by the elevators. I will show you, but I'm sort of confined to this desk.
Do you ship?
Special delivery. You could have it in 2 or 3 days. They'd even assemble it for you.
Well, that's that. So, shall I pay now?
Oh, yes, of course. We'll need your account details and our shipping address.
Of course. I love Christmas. Wrapping presents and all that. And then somehow you wind up overcooking the turkey anyway. Done. Where did you learn so much about train sets?
Oh, I read. Too much, probably.
That's refreshing. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I like the hat.
Clip 2.
There you are.
Thank you. I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. I'll have the cream spinach over poached eggs. And a dry martini with an olive.
I have the same.
The meal or the drink?
All of it. Thank you.
Cigarette?
Yes, please.
So, what kind of name is Balalet?
It's Czech. It's changed. Originally, it was...
It's very original. Well, and your first name?
Therese.
Therese, not Teresa.
No.
Therese Balalet. It's lovely.
And yours?
Carol.
Carol.
And 2 dry martinis.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers. So, I'm sure you thought it was a man who sent back your gloves.
I did. Thought it might be a man in the ski department.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm delighted. I doubt very much I've gone to lunch with him.
Oh, your perfume.
Yes?
It's nice.
Thank you. Harsh bought me a bottle years ago, before we were married. And I've been wearing it ever since.
Harsh is your husband?
Mm-hmm. Well, technically, we're divorcing.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. And do you live alone, Therese Balalet?
I do. Well, there's Richard. He likes to live with me. No, it's nothing like that. I mean, he likes to marry me.
I see. And would you like to marry him?
Well, I barely even know what to order for lunch.
And your meals.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
I'm starved. Bon appétit. What do you do on Sundays?
Nothing in particular. What do you do?
Oh, nothing lately. If you'd like to come to visit me sometime, you're welcome to. At least there's some pretty country around where I live. Would you like to come visit me this Sunday?
Yes.
What a strange girl you are.
Why?
Flung out of space.
Clip 3.
You don't even know her!
You can forward any of my mail to Chicago General Post.
I've paid rent through February. I had a little extra money saved.
For our trip. Our trip, Terry. And now you're... I don't believe this is happening.
I can't explain it. I just...
What? You get one hell of a crush on this woman is what? You're like a schoolgirl.
I do not. I just like her is all. I'm fond of anyone I can really talk to.
Nice. You know what I think? I think 2 weeks from now, you are going to be wishing that she's going to get tired of you, and you are going to wish that you had never...
You don't understand.
Oh, I do. I understand completely. You are in a trance.
I'm wide awake. I've never been more awake in my life. Why don't you just leave me alone?
Are we over? Is that what this is?
I didn't say that. But why should I want to be with you when all you do is argue about this?
To say for 1 minute that you practically want to say goodbye because of some silly crush?
I didn't say that. You said it.
You made me buy boat tickets. I got a better job for you. I asked you to marry me for Christ's sakes.
I never made you. I never asked you for anything. Maybe that's a problem.
I swear to you, in 2 weeks, you are going to be begging me to forget this whole thing ever happened.
Richard.
You have a great trip, Terry.
Clip 4.
We expect, given the seriousness of the charges and inconstability of the evidence, that the court will grant sole custody of the child to my client.
Not so fast, Jerry. My client's psychotherapist is perfectly satisfied with the recovery from the events of the winter, asserting she is more than capable of caring of her own child. She has had no further contact with the girl in question, and we have sworn depositions from 2 Sandbrook Institute psychiatrists clearly stating that in their opinions, a series of events precipitated by my client's husband drove her to suffer an emotional break, which resulted in the presumed aberrant behavior. Furthermore,
all
given
right,
away
Fred,
this tape,
if this is how you're going to handle this,
we're confident
Fred,
of their
please don't.
All right, first of all, Fred, I want to see these depositions. And secondly,
May I speak? I won't deny the truth of what's contained in those tapes.
This is off the record, honey.
Heart, I want you to be happy. I didn't give you that. I failed you. I mean, we both could have given more, but we gave each other Randy. And that is the most breathtaking, the most generous of gifts. So why are we spending so much time trying to keep her from each other? Now what happened with Therese, I want it. And I will not deny it or say that I... But I do regret and I grieve for the mess we're about to make of our child's life. We... Harge are both responsible. So I think we should set it right. Now I think that Harge should have custody of Randy.
Could I suggest we just...
No, Fred, will let me speak. Because if you don't, I will not be able to cope. Now I'm no martyr, I have no clue what is best for me, but I do know and I feel it in my bones what is best for my daughter. Now I want visits with her, Harge. I don't care if they're supervised, I just want them to be regular. Now, there was a time when I would have done almost anything. I would have locked myself away to keep Randy with me. But what you say to her, to us, if I'm living against my own grain? So that's a deal. I cannot negotiate anymore. You take it or leave it. But if you leave it, we go to court. And if we go to court, it'll get ugly. And... We're not ugly people, Harge.
Carol, excuse me. Carol.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, my dear audiences. This is Charles. Really great to have you again after such a long winter vacation.
Hello, this is Stephanie. Welcome back. Since the Academy Awards had just finished, it seems we now have millions of topics to talk about.
Yeah, but not today in today's Action English. Hey, Daphne, do you still remember our special program last Christmas?
You mean the LGBT special? Of course, it left me a deep impression. And today we're talking about some special phrases and expressions in another lesbian love story, Carol.
Right. Now, let's grab you some authentic language usages in the 1950s America.
下面让我们一起来听今天的第一段原声。
Hello, how you doing?
What?
You look like $1,000,000 first thing in the morning.
I'll be down in a minute.
Therese 坐在车上回忆一切的开始，这里倒叙的剧情还是非常轻松的。Therese 的男票 Richard 在楼下推着自行车载 Therese 去百货超市上班。Therese 从窗户里探头开玩笑说自己很喜欢 Richard 在马路上的涂鸦。Richard 则告诉 Therese, You look like $1,000,000 first thing in the morning.
Bucks 在美国口语中约等于 dollars, 但 Richard 的意思可不是你一大早看起来就像$1,000,000。Look like $1,000,000 表示一个人春风满面，也可以翻译成美极了，棒呆了。对刚起床还没来得及梳妆打扮的女友说，你一大早就看起来美得不要不要的。Richard 的痴汉属性也是 looks like $1,000,000。
现学现卖一下。Met my favorite movie star. She looks like $1,000,000 today. 我见到了最喜欢的影星，她今天看起来满面春风。
遇到这个短语一定不能直译，虽然百万美元也很好，可明显还是夸人美丽更能讨女孩子欢心啊。如果以后在生活中遇到了喜欢的女生，你也可以这么夸她。
好了，请听下一段原声。
Oh, I don't believe it. Coming. Watch, watch out, baby. The American activities know you two are back on.
I don't
need
this.
Yeah,
yeah,
they know.
I will, I promise.
The House on American Activities 是众议院非美活动调查委员会，以调查不忠与颠覆行为而出名。Therese 的男票 Richard 和一群喝高了的朋友们用非美活动调查委员会知道你又重出江湖了吗来调侃对方的行为放纵不羁。在这里 back on the streets 可不仅仅是回到街上那么简单，它表示一个人重出江湖或罪犯逍遥法外。比如在神探夏洛克第三季的开头，我们就可以说 Sherlock is back on the streets。
没错，还可以这样造句， That's not right, another serial killer back on the streets。 这太糟了，又一个连环杀人犯逍遥法外，紧张的气氛一下就营造出来了。
再来听听第三段原声。
Buy some for you, I don't mind really.
You don't have to run out in the middle of nowhere and buy cigarettes.
本想和宝贝女儿一同度过圣诞节，孩子却被丈夫强行带走。正当 Carol 心烦意乱想要抽一支烟时，却发现烟也没了，真是屋漏偏遭连夜雨。Therese 出于安慰提出为 Carol 买烟， Carol 则说你没必要在这荒郊野外的地方跑出去买烟。两人只好在沉默的气氛中分别。此处 in the middle of the nowhere 指荒郊野外，更中文一点的说法就是前不着村后不着店。玩过 Minecraft 或者 Far Cry 的同学，或者在刚进入游戏时体会过那种四下无人远离文明社会的感觉，用 in the middle of nowhere 来形容是不是很贴切呢？
造个句子给大家加深印象吧。 He set out dreaming of finding treasures in the middle of nowhere. 他怀揣着在荒郊野外找到财宝的梦想出发了。
下面请听今天的最后一段原声。
Everything comes full circle. Be grateful it was sooner rather than later.
在被私家侦探抓住证据后， Carol 悄悄离开，在留给 Therese 信里写道，一切终将回到原点， come full circle， 转了一整个圈，自然就是周而复始，回到原点的意思了。 Charles， 你给大家造个句子吧。
He made all effort to experience everything interesting in the world, but finally came full circle and returned to his families. 他费尽心思想要经历世上一切有趣的事，最终却周而复始，回到了自己的家人身边。
Well, I think it's time to review what you have learned today in Carol.
Sure. Look like $1,000,000. 美极了，棒呆了。
Back on the streets, 重出江湖，逍遥法外。
In the middle of the nowhere, 前不着村，后不着店。
Come full circle, 周而复始，回到原点。
I believe all of you must have picked up these useful phrases. Right then, that's all for today's Action English.
Next is Close Up, and more information is coming forward. Don't switch off. See you next Saturday.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's so good to see you again in this beautiful spring season. I'm Chloe, your host for tonight's close-up.
And I'm your host, Anne. Having spent the cold winter holiday, how have you been now?
So, guess you guys have all heard of the big news, finally. Leonardo DiCaprio has earned an Oscar for this fabulous performance in The Revenant.
Congratulations to Leo, but he's not our protagonist today. We don't need to introduce him, do we? I mean, he's far too famous.
You've got the point.
Tonight's close-up is focusing on the Oscar-nominated supporting actress Rooney Mara, who plays Therese in Carol, a beautiful and melancholy romantic film.
This glorious, beautiful girl, first known as play Mark Zuckerberg's girlfriend, Erica, in the 2010 movie The Social Network, who dumped Mark and thus making Mark come up with the idea of FizzMash, which exactly the original sample of the extraordinary website, Facebook.
But of course, the movie, The Social Network, didn't bring out the best of Rooney, considering how limited her character was. What really takes her straight to fame is her later movie, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, in which she played opposite Daniel Craig, an English actor best known for playing James Bond. In this movie, she acts as a creative and thorough investigator in a high-tech protection company called Milton Security.
Thanks to the sharp eye of David Finch, who is also the director of The Social Network, Rooney was able to show the real characteristics of Lisbeth Salander, Girl with Dragon Tattoo.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo began shooting in Sweden in September 2010. Mara did not consider the film to be a remake, but another interpretation of the novel. It is reported that Rooney did a lot of bold changes on her in a gesture to make her look like a Swedish cold, cool girl. I plan on giving my interpretation of the character, she stated. Mara's long brown hair was cut short and dyed black, in a style reminiscent of 1970s punk and 1980s gothic fashions. She also had each of her ears pierced four times and had her brow and right nipple pierced for the role. Her nose and lip piercings were fake. She kept the nipple piercing so that it would not need to be re-pierced for a sequel. Mara's eyebrows were bleached and she wore a temporary dragon tattoo.
She began preparing for the role by starting to skateboard and kickboxing and underwent dialect and computer training. She also visited Stockholm, in which the story is set. The film was released on December 20, 2011. Mara received universal critical acclaim and was nominated by the Golden Globe Award for Best Actress. On January 24, 2012, Mara received her first Academy Award nomination in the category of the Best Actress for this role.
This young, talented actress made her way to the top level of the movie industry all by her hard-working and great devotion. This year, she was nominated for the Best Supporting Actress for her subtle and convincing performance in Carol.
But she didn't win at last. You know, the Academy Awards have always been a game of interest. Thus, we can't expect it to be 100% objective and fair. She played the main role in Carol, but was nominated as a supporting actress. Her performance was considered one of the best in the last year, but Alicia Vikander won the Oscar statuette in the end. Maybe after all, it's all about who shouts louder, not who acts better.
As for the campaigning season, she said, "The whole thing feels kind of gross to me. Getting nominated means something. We'll get better parts, and I really do want people to see the film. But I don't feel like it's something I'm desperate for. I would forgo it all to keep my integrity." How self-possessed she is.
But all in all, an Oscar nomination could be a huge step forward for a young actress. I believe in the foreseeable future, she'll earn an Academy Award for her talent. Finger crossed for Rooney. All right, that's all for today's close-up. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anne.
And I'm Chloe.
Stay tuned.
Tired of a long day's work, watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
It has been a long time, everybody. Do you miss us? This is Charles, really excited to be in TikTok Talk today with you guys again.
We feel the same way. This is Becky.
And I'm Judy. Hi there. Really nice to meet you again.
Here a new season starts. In a Days Without Us, did you finally solve your weight problem? Did you take a step further in romantic relationships? And most importantly, did you have a good time watching movies?
Are you prepared to have fun with us? Come on, we have too many ideas to share.
Guess we will talk about the Academy Awards.
Sure, it's somehow the duty of Action Frames to talk about the seemingly biggest, most popular celebration of the whole movie industry.
And the absolute hot topic is our beloved Leonardo DiCaprio and his misfortune with the Golden Statuettes.
Finally, he can light this item from the top of his bucket list.
After all this time.
Yeah.
And as many media reported, this session of Oscar received much more attention than ever, and was greatly appreciated, just because Leo won.
As a matter of fact, not only Leo, but also many other actors had the same experience, but we didn't say that Oscar owned them a statuette.
Well, the only answer I believe is that Leonardo is too good-looking to be considered as an artist. Fans adore him too much and made his way to fame too easily. But the Academy Awards is not decided by fans. His peers, as I infer, tend to despise this kind of success and ignore his efforts.
Wow, really a good point. Sometimes company people do have more trouble to prove that they are excellent by other means.
So, you suggested that it is his likeness that gets in the way?
Well, perhaps. The way Oscar points to all actors is to make yourself dirty, ugly, and suffer a lot on the screen. Then you can be received as true artist and get respect from peers.
On the other hand, it does encourage actors to break all their limits to fully dedicate to this career.
Agreed, they are all celebrities, live a fancy life, but on the screen they have to behave like another guy.
To achieve these, Leonardo have been making efforts for more than 20 years. The moment he was given the award, I felt that my life is so fulfilled. The excitement lasted for so long that I didn't even notice to whom the best picture went.
Remember the last words of his acceptance speech? I don't take tonight for granted. I personally view this delayed Oscar a wise choice. This experience changed him to a more mature performer, challenged his acting skills. He's obviously not the king of the world anymore. He's better than that in every aspect.
That's true. We've seen too many stars shine since their youth but fall soon after that. Above all, we want to say with sincere that congratulations, Master Leonardo. May the Oscar be with you. Now, time for more funny details. Who's first?
I'd say I like the beginning talk show.
Chris Rock's facial jokes. Goddamn white Oscar. Come on, they're fashion of granny.
No, I mean the part that it made fun of black people who tried to persuade him to quit.
Wow, unexpected.
Unexpected indeed. And I've added Rihanna's party to my joke storage. By the way, I noticed that a thing called moral kidnapping is becoming more common when we talk about racial or sexual discrimination.
But Chris overcame it. What it did is to strike a balance, soften the conflict of the almost white Oscar.
Okay, talk about stars, then let's take a close look in the movies. Best Picture of 2015, Spotlight.
Compared with The Nightcrawler, we recommended last term, this movie undoubtedly has a higher view. It reflects the world of mass media in a microscopic way.
The good point of this movie is that it is calm, but perhaps it's a little too calm.
What do you mean?
Well, it just shows you how reporters work. No car chasing, no gunshot, no sex, only conversations, interviews. It's so calm that it even feels some kind of heavy, you know? After a tiring workday, you just won't spend any time watching it.
You know what? That's how traditional media dies in this highly commercialized world.
We focus only on amusement and fortune linked to it. The media is disappearing. In all countries, all ideologies they belong to. We are entering the time where serious news are no longer needed. Spotlight is a song of praise from the coolest industry to the uncool one.
Cool expression.
Well, it's not original.
But I think its uncommercial feature helped it defeat Mad Max to win this honor.
Reasonable, but how it defeat The Big Short?
The story itself and the way the director tells it. The Big Short is too fancy and aggressively ironic, which hurts the fragile hearts of judges. As we know, the Academy Award is a sort of self-admiring celebration of movie workers, which determines its narcissistic feature. I mean, yes, I mean it. Argo, Birdman, these movies remind them of the fact they are not only making money, though. They are making contributions to the art and society.
Thank you for the excellent analysis. Another thing to mention is that the movie we recommend today, Carol, also participated in the competition. When Rooney Mara and Alicia Vikander are together came from LGBT films, the judge chose the latter one who played character of heterosexuality. Should we view it as a sign of discrimination?
Judging only through this movie, no. Considering other examples, yes. We have to admit that the Oscar is not perfect, even far from it. Every year, the results will slightly disappoint me. So I want to make it clear that Oscar is not the only way to judge a movie or an actor.
Sure, knowing this fact can help us to accept this result more wisely and maintain our own judgment on movies.
Okay, this is the end of today's TikTok talk. Gramophone is waiting for you. Stay tuned.
See you.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. At long last, it's Gramophone. I'm Cynic. Tonight, we shall explore the beautiful relationship in the movie Carol from a musical point of view. Now, are we sitting comfortably? Directed by Todd Haynes and starring Cate Blanchett with Rooney Mara, Carol, the award-nominated film, is a lovely romance. Overall, it's beautiful, from its spectacular production and costume design, fluid direction, mesmerizing performances, and most of all, the heart-searching music, which gives us those intense, slow-building moments and leaves us smiling or shedding tears. The original soundtrack of Carol, fully named Carol Original Motion Picture Soundtrack, includes the original score, which was composed, produced, orchestrated, and conducted by Carter Burwell. Burwell is an American composer of film scores. Among his best-known works are Miller's Crossing, Conspiracy Theory, Hamlet, and Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1. This year, Burwell received his first Academy Award nomination for Best Original Score for Carol. This movie is about the relationship between a young aspiring photographer and an older woman going through a difficult divorce. Within the confines of the movie, the music exists with perfect symbiosis with the subjects and their story. Let's have a listen. Opening the first track of this album was heard in opening city scene. It represents the active engagement and passion between Therese and Carol, while conveys something about the characters before they formally appear on the scene. This piece of music becomes their love theme. It captures the feeling of what it's like to be nervous yet excited while falling in love. It feels real. It feels like two people unsure of themselves, offering up just a bit of their true feelings at a time, and waiting for the other person to do the same before revealing more. Burwell stated that composing such a piece was odd because none of the main characters appear in the opening scene. However, he felt it was important to induce the mood of the film, having the tune carry an air of sexual and romantic tension throughout. Another recommended track is Packing, number 9 of the album. In this scene, Carol is about to run away on a road trip with Therese. It's Flynn, and it's with careful enthusiasm that the two are about to spend time with one another, yet the men in their worlds look on with bafflement and thinly veiled resentment. That hard-fought planning can spoil the romantic tension between the two, and Burwell's score ties scenes like this together in a hypnotizing way. Packing plays over scenes of preparation with his hollow piano, punctuating with a kind of inner enthusiasm in spite of anxious circumstances. All in all, Carter Burwell's score is a beautiful piece, representing Carol and Therese's romance so well and never becoming overbearing, but rather a natural part of the environment. Carol is a heartfelt romance with heart-rending circumstances, and among its many approaches to telling the tale, Burwell's music elevates the material with succulent, supple elegance, while at the same time presents to us this crystallized story, fragile yet clear, and above all, beautiful. Okay, that would be all for today's gramophone. Thank you for listening. Hope you all could enjoy the movie and music. Goodbye, everyone, and have a good night.
Cast for today. Producer:
Roy Sinek.
Anchor:
劳逸勤 Chloe
陈布里 Charles
王思源 Lucky
Journalist
彭敬贤 Elva
张丹西 Anne
吴希元 Apollo
陈以慧 Daphne
葛嘉诚 Jake
牛一乐 Judy
陈紫薇 Monica
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。